Yo, yo, what is going on, you guys? It is your girl here, Simply T, Doubly Poetry, daughter of the late, great Jane Zane of the living and giving Lisa L, and welcome to another episode of the Paradigm Shift Combo, a show created to spark interest and conversation on societal norms, and in most cases, challenges relevance and agenda. The idea of shifting the paradigm is considered rebellious or brash, but in the spoken word open mic communities in which I dwell, this disruption is not only common, but required. Hi, I'm Simply T Poetry, a combat veteran stumbling back into civilian life with a probationary opinion and a handcuffed tongue, excited to freely speak about whatever the hell I want. This is a Paradigm Shift Combo.
Yo, yo, you guys, welcome back to another episode of the Paradigm Shift Convo, where I have in the studio with me today a very sexy, amazing, talented vocalist, musician, producer, and basically chronic award-winning songwriter, the illustrious Jasmine Crow. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's just get right into it, Jasmine Crow. Tell us a little bit about you.
So I was born and raised on the Big Island of Hawaii in a little town called Hilo, and
Aloha.
Yeah, it's a very musical place. I grew up playing violin there and performing in musical theater, and I discovered I could write songs at age 14. So wow. I started just learning guitar and piano. My dad was a concert pianist and an astrophysicist, and so I was constantly around creative people, musical people, and I just caught the bug from there and wanted to start recording and producing my own songs and get them out there.
Interesting. Did you feel pressure to be a musician coming from the fact that your dad was like a concert?
Not at all. It just happened very naturally. I remember being 5 years old and I would just go around bursting out into song, and like my parents were like, oh my gosh, she has a beautiful voice.
Right.
Oh my gosh. So I just... music was like always around me, so.
Nice. That's dope. Because I feel like sometimes, and your dad is a lot, because I think about some of the things that I deal with as an artist is I'm also STEM. Like, I deal with electronics, you know, like the whole mathematics. I'm a cybersecurity is what I do. But at the same time, it's so difficult to find somebody who like is right and left brained. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
so the fact that your dad was like such a scientist, but at the same time have this creative musical thing, it's not very easy to find. And then the people who have it, it's not very easy to bring forward.
Well, music is math. I mean,
in retrospect, right? Yeah. But the thing about mathematicians is they don't correlate that well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
And people and music and musicians don't correlate it to math well.
Exactly.
You know,
I think music is like left and right brain. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
that's interesting. And it's so dope. Then it makes perfect sense on why you've been so successful in the industry, being that, you know, you've got to pull from both sides of the spectrum and realize that that's exactly what it is, mm-hmm. which is the, I mean, at this point, it's kind of like the secret to the universe when it comes to this industry. You know, it's like, oh no, I can do math and I can have an ear, you know, and it's, that's amazing. So it probably brings so much to your success. So I'm super elated that that is even like brought up, because that is what the paradigm shift is all about. It's about shifting what is the norm for mm-hmm. the sake of producing what is to come. And you are on the verge of coming, as you have already broke through so many barriers in such a seems like a short amount of time. So tell us about your move from the Big Island of Hawaii to LA.
Okay, well, so I started doing music like at a very early age, and you say that it's been a short period of time, but actually I've been doing it my whole life.
That's crazy.
So moving from LA, from Hawaii to LA has been one of the best decisions I've ever made, because there's so much opportunity here and creative people and people in the music industry that I couldn't have met without leaving the island. And I always had island fever growing up. I was like, I need to go out and do music.
Yeah.
And so finally made the leap from the across the pond,
right,
as you would say,
right,
back in 2013. And it was right after my dad actually passed away, so mm-hmm. I felt like there was a change that needed to be made in my life, and I'm really glad that I came here.
Nice. So Thanks. Yeah, I definitely can cope with the loss of a father, especially as a young girl. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, not young, but I'm young because I wasn't young at all. But you know what I mean? Just losing a dad.
Whew. Yeah.
Baby, girl, I can relate in all seriousness. So I definitely understand how a change of pace is kind of necessary because mm-hmm. you can get caught up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I know what island fever is like. I lived in Hawaii for 5 years.
You did?
I did.
Which island?
Oahu.
Oahu. Yeah. Yeah. The big city.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Not the big island, but the big city. Exactly. So, yeah. And then I even have the cold shift. Like, I can pigeon it if necessary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Bada.
Yeah. Oh, she's got it. Look at that. So, yeah. So, absolutely. And a lot of my listeners are actually from Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I bet I know some of them.
You probably know. It's a small island. Oh, like, yeah. The entire state is a small island.
I know. So true.
So, super interesting. So, that's dope. And speaking of Hawaii, like, you've made a break all up in there, too. Like, you're not a stranger, like, to the island when it comes to your musical passions. Because they know you.
Oh, yeah, like, I know. So much family, like, Ohana.
Ohana everywhere.
You know,
yeah.
Hanai.
Yeah.
Hanai family.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, extended family, mm-hmm. that, you know, your community is your family. And, you know, I feel like the people that I've met here in L.A. have become my Ohana and my musical family.
Nice.
As well. So I'm very grateful for that. And, like, I think it's so important to have people around you that inspire you every day and push you and support you. So...
So since you've moved to LA, and just getting back to the artist that you are, you have, and I called you a chronic award-winning songwriter because you have Lightning in a Bottle, Still Feel You, Phoenix Rising, Skeleton, Breaking Things. Like, these are all songs that have, like, won awards, and not just, like, no baby-ass awards. I'm talking about, you know, international strides. So what is the songwriter Jasmine like? What is that? How did that even
like, I don't know what it is about songs, but I felt like, you know, even as a singer and a musician, like, playing all these instruments, I feel like when you write something from your heart, it's, like, different than just covering songs. You have your own voice, and I felt like I needed to tell stories with music. And you know, there's some running themes in my music as well about, like, you know, love and, struggling with, like, addiction and struggling with, like, overcoming hardship and, OCD and mental issues. So, I think that a lot of those earlier songs reflect that.
What made you be able to, or want to, have those conversations about mental health and OCD?
Okay, so getting back to my dad, I am my father's daughter. I'm a father's girl,
right? You know,
daddy's girl. But so I feel like I'm a lot like him, and he was always very driven, hardworking, but he also had some, like, OCD things that, you know, I got as well growing up,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, just being able to process things through songs is very cathartic for me. It's the way that I express what I'm going through.
Right.
Because sometimes it's not easy to talk about it. And, yeah. So, I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. It does. No, and I know it's difficult. Because I still, like, my dad passed away in, like, 2003. And it is still something that brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it, you know what I mean? And being daddy's little girl, and he had three of us, but, you know, we all think we were the favorite, but I was. So, so when that feeling, so I understand. So being able to tell stories and to tell that one, I feel like is difficult. It's difficult, especially when you know that you're a storyteller. And that's a conversation that's difficult to have. One of the things that I can relate to is that I'm a poet by nature. So when my dad passed, my mom was like, write a poem for the funeral. I'm like, what? Like, I'm not that strong. But, you know, like, we have to be, right? Because that's what mom wanted. And who am I to let daddy down, you know, at this point. So I definitely understand being able to write from that perspective. So kudos, absolutely. And I know that it's out of order and everything, but I want to talk about The Sky is Falling.
Yeah.
Because I'm already there. Yeah. I was relating as I was reading your story. So The Sky is Falling is what you did. You mm-hmm. wrote that story.
I wrote that about my dad.
And with him being all about the universe and the sky and the stars, so to say The Sky is Falling is just, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, there's not, like, the title alone is enough. You probably didn't have to write the song, girl, because you could have just said The Sky is Falling, drop the mic, and walk off the stage. Platinum.
Well, how that song came about, it came about years later, because wow. One of the things about grief is we all deal with it differently. Mm-hmm. So when he passed away so suddenly, I found a creative way to deal with it, which was organizing his memorial service. And what we did, the entire community in Hawaii came out. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And we did it at the planetarium at the Imiloa Astronomy Center, which he had helped form and build, kind of like connecting the Hawaiian community with the astronomy community.
Right.
And so... it was amazing to have it there, and mm-hmm. I felt so, like, honored to put that together, and that was my way of dealing with the grief, and right. helping my mom, and helping my sister and my family. I'm not going to cry. So years later, I'm still kind of processing it,
right?
And so I really wanted to write a song to, you know, in his memory, and because he was an astrophysicist, and because he taught me so much about the universe and the stars, and I feel like that's kind of my spirituality as well, is like the universe is, we're all connected.
Right.
It's all part of us. I mean, we're part of the universe. So
stardust.
We're stardust. We are literally made from the dust of stars.
Right.
It's a fact. And so, my world felt like it was crashing down around me when he passed away. But even still, like, I still feel like he's part of me, and I'm inspired by what he taught me every single day.
Absolutely.
About the universe. So.
Absolutely. So I want you guys to listen in to the storytelling ability that is Jasmine Crowe, and very vulnerable track. So you guys take a listen to The Sky is Falling by Jasmine Crowe.
I miss your face like yesterday. Can't accept the things I can't change. Sometimes heaven can hurt, bringing me back down to earth. Life just isn't fair. Sometimes heaven can hurt, bringing me back down to earth. Stars at night.
that was The Sky Is Falling by Jasmine Crowe. Very vulnerable, honest piece. And to your father and all that he accomplished, which we could have a whole nother conversation about that as well. So I am like, as a visitor to the island, I'm grateful for that. And as just a person in general, I'm grateful for the strides that he took for the things that we do know now. So thank you for thank you. And thank you for being a product and just kind of keeping that going. That's super dope. So I'm super excited about that and grateful. I'm grateful that you don't let that falter. So let's get more into Miss Jasmine Crowe. And we could talk about you as a songwriter. We could talk about you as a producer. You are indie everything. Yep. You know what I mean?
I'm a jazz of all trades.
Right. What is that like? Like, how difficult is that? Especially coming out with, like, new songs consistently.
I feel like, you know, it's been a long time. I've learned so much. And I'm lucky enough to have mentors that I have taught me so much over the years that I've been, you know, looking up to and learning from every single day. I felt this need to learn production so that I could do things for myself and I didn't have to rely on other people, especially growing up in Hawaii, because there isn't a lot of that production side there to learn from. There's no schools like there are here. There's no education systems for that particular field.
Right.
So I just felt like I really wanted to learn that and grow in that. And it was like beating my head against the wall for, I would say, 4 years.
Wow.
Just learning to do it myself and learning Pro Tools and learning Logic and studying, you know, other songs and like trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my music and what how I wanted it to sound. So, you know, at first that's why I learned piano and guitar so that I could compose and produce. And, you know, you can take a keyboard and turn it into any sound. And it's just a very creative tool. It's very freeing to be able to do that for yourself. And I'm so glad that I beat my head against the wall for like years so I can, you know, do it now. And
some violinist to guitar to everything
ukulele.
Else. Yeah, I was like, oh, I love the ukulele. to everything else, right? So that's super dope. So you talked about your learning style. What is the Suzuki learning style?
Oh, the Suzuki method. So I was 3 years old when I first took violin. And the Suzuki method is a type of learning where you learn by ear at first. You don't learn to read at first. So I feel like that's actually really been the foundation for my musical education.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, you first. Right. I was like, you started talking about, oh, I need to produce. And I'm like, you had a background to produce before you even knew you had, you know, like some strong, heavy foundations.
Yeah.
Because you learned the Suzuki method at a very young age.
Well, also, you know, memorizing complex, you know, classical pieces on violin, you have to know pitch, you have to know control over your bow, vibrato, tone, how you draw it out of the instrument, and also just, you know, memorizing the music.
Right.
And it's not like a pop song where it's like, it repeats. It doesn't repeat.
Like, this is not on loop. Like,
yeah, exactly. So
Nice. So tell me about all things that have, like, because your songwriting, I feel like, is just kind of like the foundation of your vocalist style, because you, I feel like songwriters, y'all, you can write for write for anybody, for anything, but being able to vocalize, you know, the things that you write, okay, like, that's a whole different challenge, because now you have to make it sound like people want to hear, and that might not necessarily be your tone.
Okay, so growing up, I grew up with classical music, jazz music, rock music. I used to play jam fiddle in rock bands.
Oh, wow.
Hippie rock bands.
Oh, yeah, you're from Hawaii for sure.
Yeah,
for
sure.
That is your day.
And so, totally different styles, folk music. Actually, when I first started writing songs, I was very inspired by Jewel, because I didn't know how to produce then.
Wow.
And I just resonated, her voice resonated with me, how she could just pick up a guitar and tell a story with her voice. It was so
needs
powerful.
Nothing else.
Exactly.
Right.
And so that's when I first, you know, started writing songs. And it was, pop music had kind of had like a folk feel to it back mm-hmm. then too. It was like a little more indie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gotten a lot more dance oriented once like Katy Perry came out and Lady Gaga. And so
it's definitely like I was just, it's kind of like fluid. Like
yeah.
when it comes to like, is this R&B, pop, jazz? It's just.
That's what I love about right? pop music. It's like candy.
It's you like everybody's cousin. It's like it's your cousin. What is pop? It's the cousin of jazz. It's the cousin of R&B. It's the cousin of hip hop. It's just like that close cousin that comes to all the barbecues. We don't really know what it is, but you know, it fits.
Well, if you think about it, it's like, you know, there's dance pop. Lady Gaga was doing dance pop. There was a jazz phase where like Adele and Amy Winehouse and Sarah Bareilles was like indie folk, like.
Are all these your inspirations? Are we throwing just random inspirations?
I'm pointing out how like different genres are in pop music.
Right. And,
you know, I feel like pop gets a bad rap.
Really?
Sometimes. Well, you know, there's the hipsters out there or whatever. They're like, you know, pop isn't cool because it's like, it's too easy to do. But, you know, try to write a pop song. That's what I say. Like, before you.
It's easy until you try to do it.
Exactly. Like it's a skill.
That's how I feel about hip hop right now. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's like, I can write a rap song. Yeah, try. Try to write a rap song.
Try to sound cool. Yeah,
I can write a rap song. It just, I don't even know what they're saying. I can do that. And it's like, no, I can't do that. So I definitely
I can't rap, understand. By the way. I can't.
You have to. You got to do one of those breaks in your song.
I got to try it sometime.
Everybody's doing it. You gotta just jump into a Lovato and just like hip hop it out real quick.
Right. Yeah.
It's gonna sell, I'm telling you. So let's talk about Chess Game. So how did that come about as a songwriter?
So something that I'm really feel really strongly about in the last year that I'm so grateful for is I've collaborated with so many people this year, and I never used to collaborate when I would write songs. It was kind of like mostly my own brain and my own thoughts and stuff, but I've been collaborating with a lot more people lately, and I feel so inspired. So this year, I met this girl just through some of my musical connections, and she was an artist. And she's like, girl, I want to get to know you more, and like, you know, I'm really passionate. I want to learn how to produce, and I feel like not a lot of women produce. Like, they're not known as being producers, which mm-hmm. I think is something that needs to be filled. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So we got together, had a girls' night, drank some wine, you know, we're talking about boys and, like, what we've been through and stuff. And she was like, I have this song concept called Chess Game. And I was like, that's so cool. Because, like, I used to play chess when I was younger.
Me too. You're a nerd. Okay.
I'm Italian. Well, my dad was into chess.
Right. I'm like, of course you were. What are we talking about?
Yeah. So
my dad was.
I was like, girl, that is a really cool concept. And I was like, you know what? On the chessboard, the queen is the one with all the power.
You better know it.
She's protecting the king.
Better know it.
So the song is about taking your power back.
Hmm.
And being like, hey, you know what? I'm the queen here. Like, I'm powerful.
Nice.
It's like a woman empowerment song.
Nice.
But it's also like, you know, being a team player. Like, you're my king. You're in my corner. But like, don't forget who's ruling here.
Right. Like, behind every good man really is a good woman in front. But anyway. So I love that. And just you being able, I love it when songwriters, like, tell me, like, what they were thinking and how the thing came about. And I just think that's super dope. It's, Chess Games is great because it does bring out everything, right? From the moving of pieces and mm-hmm. being able to manipulate your way across the board, because that's what it's truly all about, and the board is absolutely life. So I definitely get it. So many layers that can be involved in it, and I just want everybody to listen to the Chess Games, because the queen is absolutely the most powerful piece on the board. So y'all take a listen to Jasmine.
Down on one knee in shining armor, off of my feet, you know royalty. Diamonds and rings, a life of luxury. Living the dream, throwing away the key. Fooling like you're running on ruling me. Can't lock me up, I'm gonna break out. This kingdom is crumbling. Take
won't be down on my knees, like I'm losing my head. In distress, took the power instead. Diamonds and rings, yeah, living the dream, yeah. A life of luxury, throwing away the key. Fooling like you run it, I'll run it, I'll run it, me. Can't lock me up, I'm gonna break out. This kingdom is crumbling, crumbling. Taking the crown, you're gonna bow down.
Yo, that is Jasmine Crow, and she is welcoming all of you guys to the board. Welcome to the chess game, baby. It is about to be real up in here. That is such a dope track, girl.
Thank you.
Yes, that is so empowering. I was getting excited listening. I was like, I'm about to write a quick 16 right now. Welcome to the chess game. Welcome to the Paradigm Shift Combo. Back at it again, where we have Miss Jasmine Crow shifting all types of paradigms. Super, super dope track. I absolutely love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Oh my goodness, girl. Your sound is so fluid. And you talk about being a pop artist. But baby, let me tell you, if it was on time for an awards, they're going to be like, is this R&B? We could put her in a hip. Like, it's so dope.
A little bit of rock in that one, too. And I played electric violin on it.
Really?
That kind of thing that sounds like a synth.
Yeah. That's all you.
Yep.
Okay. I see you. You do everything. You do it all. How difficult is that, being like everything? Is it difficult as an artist?
You know, I've had to make some decisions of like, you know, because if you're good at everything, you're not great at anything. Mm. But I feel like it all contributes to the one thing that is my passion that I am the best at, which is as a singer and a songwriter and storyteller and performer. So I think all the pieces come together in that way.
Okay, so you are the writer, you are the musician, you play it, you arrange it, you produce it, and then you sing it, and you're like, and that's all me. I love it. I love you talk about women and empowerment. Girl, you are a staple. You are the poster child right now. Like, there might not be a lot of us, but you are it. So I'm super, super happy that, you know, things are starting to kind of like, I see you, mama. I see you.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes, we need that. We need that in the industry because it's so much more. Like, when we think about women in the industry, we think about just what we see.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, when
you gotta show them.
You know what I mean? We think about Lauryn Hill. It's like, oh, she was just this. Like, no, she was in the background of her own things, too. But when it comes to the industry and these mega names, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, no, she had Sony behind her. She had this behind her. She had, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, but I was there. Like, it doesn't matter who was, you know what I mean? Like, who I'm under. I still had a hand from the beginning to the end, from the songwriting to the vocals to the producing.
Exactly.
Like, but, and thank God for social media. Like, I don't really love social media all the time, but one of the things I appreciate is that it is allowing people to see the things that were never seen.
Exactly.
And you are those things. You know, like, we might not never know everything that these women that came before us in the industry accomplished behind the scenes because we just weren't relevant. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't relevant to see. But now with you, it's like everything. So you've won so many contests. You are the Chronic Award winning songwriter. Chronic. It's habitual. It's like on accident at this point. It's like all I did was tell a story. I didn't even. So how did you get into the competing, but then realizing like, oh, I do this? Are you still humble? Like, I'm so surprised I won.
I mean, you know, hard work, you got to keep working.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to explain. Like, it was one of the best, like, things winning the John Lennon songwriting contest.
That was the latest. Was it not, like, 2018? Last year?
Yeah. It was, 2018, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I got to meet Ringo Starr.
I know.
And Jeff
How
Bridges.
Dope was that?
And the Lennon bus, and like, it was amazing. It was like a dream come true. I cried when they called me.
No
I was
way.
Like jumping up and down, and like, yeah. The Beatles are like actually one of my favorite bands of all time. John Lennon's one of my favorite songwriters of all time.
Really?
So it meant so much to me. And I remember being like 14 years old and looking at the John Lennon songwriting contest and being like, wow, that's amazing. Like, I wish I could win that. Or like.
So seeing Ringo Starr probably just like cake topped.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And he was like, what he said to me, like, I'll never forget. He was like, one day they'll be singing your songs. And I was like, oh my God.
Yes, so you guys, if you don't know, the John Lennon Songwriting Contest, it's like thousands and thousands of songs, okay? First of all, they go through a rigorous levels, like constant like breaking down of these songs. And some of the judges, oh my goodness, are amazing. I read, who are some of the judges that I've read? Boosie was one of the judges. Oh my goodness, I can't even remember now, but some just legendary people that really get to like nitpick through your song, which is,
yeah,
I imagine heartbreaking as an artist, well, like as a songwriter.
It's crazy too, because like that particular contest, you don't even know that you won. Like there's no like semifinals or anything like that. There's no finalists, right, even. It's just you won the pop category. So it came out of the blue, and I was like, whoa, what? Are you kidding me?
Nice. And what song? It was called
Breaking Things.
Breaking Things. I love that song.
Volunteering to help people in need is a noble gesture. Volunteering to lay down your life for your country is a sacrifice that can never be repaid. In an effort to keep my fellow veterans connected to society and each other, this is VetNet.
The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, and the Veteran Affairs Supportive Housing, VASH, is a collaborative program that combines housing vouchers with VA supportive services to help homeless veterans and their families find and sustain permanent housing. Through the Public Housing Authority, HUD provides rental assistance vouchers for privately owned housing to veterans who are eligible for VA health benefits. The VA then provides case managers to connect these veterans with the support services that they need to be successful, to include health care, mental health treatment, substance abuse counseling, in an effort to get them to a recovery process and the ability to maintain housing inside of a community. Among the VA Homeless Continuum of Care programs, which there are so many care programs for homeless when it comes to the VA, understand that the HUD-VASH enrolls the largest number and percentages of veterans that have experienced long-term homelessness and or repeated homelessness. So in the fiscal year 2018, there were over 85,000 veterans with an active HUD-VASH voucher and over 78,000 veterans living in HUD-VASH housing, which is a super big deal. Not to mention that same year, the Congress awarded HUD-VASH program over $40 million, where in 2018, they helped over 10,000 families find and sustain housing, which is super big. There is a HUD-VASH facility, housing facility, in each of the 50 states. There is also one in the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and Guam. So that is a super, super big deal. I'm super excited about this program, super grateful. If you want to know more about the HUD-VASH program, all you have to do is go to HUD.gov. That is HUD, like the first three letters in the Hudson River, and gov, as in govern yourself accordingly. So that's HUD.gov. Thank you so much, HUD-VASH program, for putting veterans and their families first. Veterans, let's stay connected.
So tell us about Breaking Things, because I absolutely like that song. Like, and, okay, and then the behind, like everything that you're about to say, I already know, right? So I'm just like excited about it. I can't even keep quiet.
So yeah, okay, that song is really special because it was one of the earlier ones that I was producing in my home studio, and I co-wrote it with Josh Anderson, and he was my drummer and songwriting partner, and we wrote it together, and he kind of like arranged like the parts with me. He did the, like, the bass arrangement, and mm-hmm. I would just kind of, like, translate. He'd be, like, humming them out to me and, like, doing the drums, of course, the drum beats and stuff like that. And I was like, hey, let's just sit down and write a song today. I remember sitting down and be like, I don't care. I'm going to write a song today. I don't care if it sucks, but I just need to write, because if I don't write for too long, I get depressed.
Interesting.
So I was like, I just want to write something great. And if I don't sit down and practice at this, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And so I was like, here, just sit down and write some lyrics. Like, tell me about your experience with your ex or whatever. And like, I just had this hook, and I was like, if I knew, then would I know now? Nice. I'd still love you. I was like, don't go breaking things. So that chorus was actually a lyric I wrote from it's kind of random, but an experience I had when I was 5 years old. It was a memory.
Wow.
And it was about my sister, and she wrote me like this nice note for my birthday, and she gave me this gift. And one day I got mad at her and I broke it. And then I immediately regretted it when I broke it. Because wow. I was like, I can't put it back together now.
Right.
And that memory stuck with me throughout my life and throughout my relationships and stuff like that. So that was just like a little poem I wrote, that chorus.
Nice.
So I just sat down with the acoustic guitar and started like singing to it. And then he wrote the verse lyrics. And then we put it together. And that was the song. Submitted it to the John Lennon. And
we beat everybody.
Everybody! So, that is crazy.
And we beat everybody. Yeah. Super, super dope. I love it. And it's super interesting too, because as a songwriter, like, I hear people that are songwriters explain all the time how you could just take one moment in time. I was 5 years old and I broke something and I shouldn't have broke it. And then there's breaking things. And I won $20,000, John Lennon concert, and the rights to shit on people for the rest of my life. So, yeah. So, it's such an amazing talent to have. And I love the fact that when I speak to songwriters, that you guys are so humble. You're like, yeah, it was just literally me telling a story. Like, I really just wanted people to know that, my bad.
I just want to connect to people, and I want people to feel things from music, because I feel things from music. And to connect to somebody else that's going through the same thing, there's no better feeling than when somebody like messages me and they're like, this song means so much to me, or this song is my jam, I get down to this song, or
right.
You know, that is the reward,
right?
Ultimately,
that's dope. So I've read that in listening to a plethora of your discography. I've learned that you have a sharp ear for a catchy hook. Like, you got that thing on lock,
girl.
Thank you. Yes, I'm like, even if you don't know the song, like, that hook will be in your head. You'll be like, Google the hook. You know, like, you just Google the hook, try to figure out the song. You have an amazing talent to capture the audience with that. And I want to know how that evolved into all things, all the tracks that are on your new album, Symptoms.
I'm so glad you asked me that, because that's a huge part of my writing process.
Hmm.
A lot of times hooks will just pop into my head. Like, don't go breaking things. Or like, when I run to you,
hey.
I'm just running from myself. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those little hooks, I'll start from there and build the song around that, because right. That's the meat of the song.
Right.
You got it. And it's catchy and it's fun and it's accessible. And I will take that hook that pops into my head and start building the track right away. Mm. I'll start putting the chords down, and then I'll work backwards usually.
Mm.
I'll start writing the pre's from there, and then the verses, and then start arranging the little track elements and the little, like, melodies. And,
okay.
Using my voice to add textures to the tracks, too. Mm. That's something I've learned recently.
That's some professional shit right there. She adds texture to the track. If y'all, I'm a writer, so when you start adding things that don't go, like, you add texture to something that's not even texturable. That's impressive. You might be a writer to do something like that. That's dope. I love that analogy. So yeah, I definitely feel that. Tell us about Symptoms, because that's the latest and greatest. right now.
Yes. Okay. So symptoms is a concept that I've been working on since, I would say, since I wrote Breaking Things.
Okay.
And Symptoms was actually the second song that came after writing Breaking Things. And it was about basically having a good, when you have a good time, that feeling when you have a good time and you are like have a great time at night and like you wake up in the morning and you feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not explaining this right at all.
No, you are. No, I can relate.
This one time I went out with my friends in LA and we had a night that we couldn't remember. And the next day I felt like absolute shit. Like right. I wanted to throw up. I had a horrible headache.
Right.
I was like, I don't know if I made a fool out of myself last night. But you know what? It was fun. So that was kind of the concept of the song is symptoms of having fun.
Right. And the album?
Yep.
Okay. So that's what like the overall arching theme is as well.
All the songs from there were kind of, they kind of had the same theme of like the symptoms of your life and the things that maybe you're ignoring because you just want to like cover it up with other things, like whatever it is, whatever your crutch is. And it adds to these layers.
Right.
So
that makes sense. Because one of the other singles you put out was Once You Start.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like some symptoms are going to be involved.
Once you start, you can't stop.
Once you start, you can't stop. So what's the theme behind that?
Well, that's another symptom. It's actually one of my favorite. It's actually a pretty popular track on the album that, especially when I play it live. I mean, it just came out like a month ago, but people that have heard it have really liked the song a lot because it's very dancey and fun. But that song's actually about, like, you know, when you start doing something and then those habits, like, creep up on you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you have to go fix it. But you don't really want to because you just, it leaves you wanting more.
Hmm.
So.
Interesting. I think about that and I think about my ability to not twerk, but start twerking. Like, yeah, I'll be starting to twerk and then I'll get into it. And then the next thing you know, I'm like, taking over for the 99-2000. God damn it, wobble on the floor. I wish I could take this back, but not really. Not really. No. Now it is. It's a symptom. It's a symptom of hip hop. But I definitely, definitely understand that. I want the people to hear the symptom track, the single, because I think that it's a prelude to all things that are on the track,
yeah,
that are on the album. So I want people to listen to. So you guys take a listen to the latest single from Symptoms. It just came out a month ago. Once You Start, by Jasmine Crow.
I want you. I want you to do to me. And me. What I'm craving. Only want what I can't have. Only want what I can't have. And it ain't what I should be doing. You're my favorite kind of bad. You're my favorite kind of bad. What only you can give me. Once you start, you can't stop. Once you start, you can't stop. Once you start, you just can't stop. Once you start, you can't stop. Once you start, you can't stop. Fine. Your love's out there. I come running every time. Come running every time. Only want what I can't have. Only want what I can't have. And it ain't what I should be doing.
Once you start, you can't stop. That was Jasmine Crow with her latest single. You better know it, you guys. That is definitely a symptom I can relate to and to invite you to listen to what Jasmine has to offer, because she ain't no punk in this. She know what she's talking about. And she has some great things to share. So take a listen in. And I want you guys to find out how to take a listen in. And I'm going to let Jasmine have it by letting you know exactly where to find all things that are Jasmine Crow.
Okay. Well, you can go to my website at jasminecrowe.com. JASMINECROWE. I like to tell people it's like Princess Jasmine, Russell Crowe.
Yes.
Crow with an E. Unlike, you know, Sheryl Crow, who doesn't have an E. And then all of my handles are at I Am Jasmine Crow. So you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
And YouTube. And we can find Symptoms on all platforms.
All platforms.
All it's platforms everywhere, are streaming.
And I'm going to have vinyl and CDs available pretty soon, too. And T-shirts.
Okay. So. I love all the products. I do have a record player at my house, so... I will be getting that vinyl.
Cool. Actually, it's funny because the John Lennon gave me that as a prize. Like,
what?
Yeah, free vinyl and free CDs.
Nice.
From disc makers. I was like, you guys rock. The John Lennon Songwriting Contest, they're awesome people. They're so awesome.
Well, I'm so grateful for you and all things that you've shared. You have definitely been vulnerable, honest, and most importantly, super talented. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you as a press release. I'm thankful for you as a female and as the future. And I feel like because all things that are Jasmine Crow have absolutely changed the industry and maneuvering and manipulating it differently than it's ever become, I want to give you the all shift from the Paradigm Shift Convo salute. So thank you so much for all that you're doing and all that you have plans. You are definitely going to be great because you already are. So I just want to thank you again. You guys check out Jasmine Crow. That is Jasmine Crow with an E. And check out the new album Symptoms streaming on all platforms. You guys know what to do. Get at me. This is the Paradigm Shift Convo.
Back in the day, wooden soapboxes were used as platforms for orators to speak to the masses. And now, these speakers are known as slammers, spoken word artists, poets, exposing divisive culture and their souls 3 minutes at a time. And this segment is my modern day wooden platform. So listen carefully as a new artist takes the stage and I bring you today's 90-second soapbox.
I will. As I whisper with hunger of happiness and a desire for forever and eternal bliss. You became my king seal with a passionate kiss. We vowed to love forever through the good and the bad, the ups and downs and through those stormy weather. There's a method to our love, how we love and why we love. Forever and a day we promise to die in love. I mean, God set high our love like kites we fly our love. Our love be a natural thing. One can't deny our love. You said that we will always be together and that never would be an obstacle in our fairy tale forever. However, false promises of happy ending amended of our souls united, ignited, bruised egos. And I know that I'm entitled to so much more promises, like promises of your kisses from your lips and how you'd embrace the silhouette of my hips and how your eyes seem to always hypnotize those visual vibes of our heartbeats. See, you reap the seeds of our souls from I will to I know till we grow, how we flow when we glow in this love forever photo. You are the oxygen I inhale like incense smoke, and I choke on the absence of the thoughts that you spoke. So let's breathe together as our breaths become one. Plan a life of forever with a daughter or son. Let's birth beauty through the blessings of God's lessons till we believe, till we achieve, till we succeed in our love eternally. I love you.
So this concludes another episode of the Paradigm Shift Convo. We are here every single Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For everything Simply Tea and to get previews to upcoming shows, visit simplyteepoetry.com. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. This is your girl, Simply Tea, Doubly Poetry. Y'all know what to do. Get at me. Let's go.